This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right. And we want you to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can share online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all.
You know, you pursue what is good. And a lot of times, this is something that I think we have really gotten mixed up in our culture today, is that we say that everyone is pursuing good when really it is pursuing evil. And I know that sounds ultra simplistic, but that really is what it is. We're seeing a bunch of evil, twisted, perverted ideologies being pushed and pushed and pushed in our schools and on our children, and they're being touted as good, inclusive things.
Yeah.
And I just don't see any evidence of it. I see our culture going downhill very, very rapidly, but it's all being paraded around as virtue.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly, even 2,000 something years ago, this is what the Bible was saying is going to happen.
Yeah. When Paul is writing here, he's talking about the retribution principle. Don't operate under the payback rule. Like, you did evil to me, so I'm going to do evil to you. He's like, no, seek good, not just for yourself, but for other people. Mm-hmm. You need to be a force for peace and for reconciliation. Now, we're not saying don't stand up against like evil or tyranny. Obviously do that, because just like John said, I mean, our culture is going downhill because the church has failed to stand up at critical junctures.
And I think that there's a lot of retribution in that. They're like, you know what? You have oppressed us. You have always controlled us. You have, and so now we're taking over. We're the ones calling the shots. Now we're going to do it by force. That's what we're seeing.
But payback is not the Christian way. It's not, you've done this to me, so I'm going to turn around and get you back for this. No, in love. I mean, what if God had that attitude toward us?
Amen.
We sinned against a holy God. What if God had that attitude of payback? You sinned against me. Okay, here comes my wrath. That's why Christ had to die on the cross.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to the Date the Word app for partially sponsoring this episode. You can get it for free right now on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. You know, we had a spirit of retribution in the studio today.
We did.
And we got to talk about it because
we did.
David, go ahead and turn your mic on, bud. Go ahead and turn your mic on. Nicholas does not want to talk on mic, although he is the focus of this. So I guess, David, you just have the floor. I think he's going to try to defend himself off mic.
Set up the scenario for us. What is the laundry that needs to be aired out?
We got to talk about the argument that happened earlier with the pizza. And that led to a very heated debate between the two of you. Nicholas, do you want to weigh in at all? Do you have any? Yeah, you don't.
He's shaking his head.
He's done.
He said he's done.
All right. Tell me Just lay it out for me. Lay out what happened, because we got to hash this out. We can't go on with the show with y'all in a spirit of retribution.
We were ordering pizzas for lunch. We were getting four pizzas, two of which were meat lovers, mm-hmm. which is what Nicholas wanted.
Right.
All I asked for was a pineapple and ham, which myself, Adam, and Dr. Shaw have all expressed interest in. So I was like, all right, that sounds good. Nicholas freaked out. So we settled. I'll get half and half. Still freaking out. Because for some reason, I'll eat every inch of pineapple that there is and then eat not only half of a meat lover's, but another whole meat lover's.
He didn't know, and neither did I. He didn't know that there was a second meat lovers hidden
that
in that order.
That is due
Melissa
to
didn't
a
say
lack
that
of listening.
Melissa didn't say
Melissa
it.
Melissa did say that.
Did
Why?
You hear Melissa say that, Ryan?
I did not, but I also was not paying as much attention as you guys are.
Because
I
hear the know shouting and the clawing and the biting?
I was not paying attention to the initial setup because I'm not eating pizza.
Were we recording that?
One pepperoni, because we would normally get one meat lovers, two pepperonis, and one garden.
Right.
You did not say any of that.
Yeah, I did.
No, you did. All you said was, fine, we'll get a pepperoni, we'll get the thin whatever thing, and we'll get half pineapple and half meat lovers. That's what you said.
He's right.
No, he's not.
He's right.
He's not right.
That's what you said.
What'd
you say?
Walking up to the
You did not say a number. You just said...
She said two
said,
meat
you
lovers.
You did not say a number.
She said two
said,
meat lovers.
I said instead of...
You
she
said
two meat lovers.
In front of us. All you said was...
But in front of y'all, I did say...
You did not
don't
say
two
multiple
pepperonis anymore. We'll only get one and we'll get...
I also think it's completely fine. I think it's fine if
that
you said
like
it. I'm just saying...
That what, sounds only like three pizzas.
What do we say? What does it matter? We're not getting anywhere with this time.
I've never seen such real visceral
that's like saying,
fear.
Don't go to the gym and do bench press because I want to do squats. And if you do all the bench press and then my squats, then what am I going to do?
I'm not going to have any squats left.
But he genuinely thought you were going to eat his half.
All of his pizza.
And then...
That's an insult.
Yeah, kind of.
That's an insult to me.
I didn't say it.
Nicholas, do you have anything you want to say? Do you want to apologize at all? We got to get this right before we bring Dr. Shaw in, because there was some... I've never seen real such animal panic over a pizza before.
Melissa never said that there were three pizzas.
I agree with you.
She never said a number.
I agree.
She decided to go halvesies on something that shouldn't go halvesies on.
There was a frenzy.
We're going on 8 minutes.
Yeah, let's...
This is crazy.
Let's wrap, but we got to bring Dr. Shaw in to mediate this, because... Everybody did get their pizza, right?
Yeah, all, everybody ate plenty of pizza.
We all ate.
Everybody ate plenty. You know why? Because there were four pizzas.
Did you?
Do us a favor. Write in and send us a pizza to 252-582-5028.
Or someone actually brings us pizza.
You can visit us online.
It's all pineapple. Gross.
Oh, you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We're going to settle this with Dr. Shaw after we get back.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shaw's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shaw has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, pizza professor. Dr. Shaw, I wanted to ask you this, because we had...
What was that?
I'm about to tell you. There's
change tones so fast. PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Pizza professor.
Pizza boy. So we had to. We had a, I don't want to say a fight. I don't want to say a fight, but it was a knockdown, drag out war in the intro today. And I need you to solve this because all I feel like interdepartmental disputes need to come before the pastor. The pizza for lunch, right? We got our meat lovers. We got our what was the other one? The
Hawaiian,
ham and pineapple.
Hawaiian. Yes.
But Nicholas threw, again, I don't want to say a hissy, but that is what it was because he felt like there wasn't going to be enough meat lovers for him.
Okay.
So my question is this. Do you get the half and half, or do you feel like Nicholas should have his own separate pizza?
This is Nicholas Shaw?
This is Nicholas Shaw. He's right there. There
you
he
mean
is.
Like my son.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Because he wanted, I think basically what he wanted was confirmation that David wasn't, because David was like, want the ham and pineapple.
This is the same Nicholas who was born to us.
Born to you. Yeah, born unto you, a son this day.
Child in our family.
Of course. Yes, correct.
Very
he's
so.
The one when Nicole goes to Chick-fil-A to pick up our dinner. You know, some days it's just busy. Some days we don't have time to cook or whatever. Hey, I'm going to go. Uh-huh. He's the one who asks for a 30-piece meal.
Unbelievable.
This is this is that who you're talking about?
Yes, this is the one. The very one.
Okay. A son born unto you this day.
Yes.
I want to lay out. I just want to lay out the facts. So. Hold on.
If you want
lay
a microphone,
out,
we'll hook you up a mic.
Yeah, I
want
to lay out the. So we're talking about getting pizza. We knew we were going to get a pepperoni. Everybody wants pepperoni.
Sure. Uh-huh.
We knew we were going to get a thin crust vegetable, the healthy option.
Yes. Which is what I like.
Yes.
I like that.
And then we knew we were going to get a meat lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we always get four. So I was like, Melissa, why don't you just get a ham and pineapple? Because there are some people here that like pineapple.
Nicholas lost his mind.
He was like, wow.
And so she was like, why don't I just do half pineapple, half meat? And Nicholas was like, I need an agreement in writing that you won't eat any of the meat. Because what he was scared of, and I get this, but I keep these thoughts on the inside because it makes me look real greedy. His thoughts were, if you go for the meat pizza, then that'll leave the pineapple, which I hate.
Well, all I can say is he's very particular about all the protein that he is eating right now, 30. And yeah, he is buff and he's working out and looking bigger and bigger. But 30 piece nugget meal.
That's kind of crazy.
That's a little
crazy.
Well, you know what Nicole does now?
How's
she
that?
Makes him pay half for that meal.
Really? You're joking.
For his meal. Yeah. No, if he had just had a regular, decent, human being.
Normal, like an actual human.
Yeah, like a normal human meal. Then, yeah, we'll pay for it. But when he says, yeah, Mom, get me a 30-piece nugget.
That's 1,400 calories, by the way. I just looked it up.
Not if it's grilled.
Do you get them grilled?
The grilled nuggets are 500 calories. You know how I know? Because as much as we disagree, I get 30-count grilled nuggets with a side salad when
Then y'all both deserve to fight.
Enjoy your argument. You deserve each other.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. 500 calories for 30 pieces of chicken. I can't argue with that.
Exactly. We need to talk today about how do you deal with forbidden, maybe not fruit in this case, because David had the pineapple, but how do you deal with forbidden meat lover's pizza?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that okay to say?
I think just how do you deal with temptation? You know, Dr. Shaw, we actually had, this was kind of a big smokescreen, if you will, to get into this user submitted question. But this came from somebody who he did not submit his name. We saw it on the email, but he asked for it to be anonymous.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. Shaw, I found your interview with Sean Kahn on Facebook while looking for Christian podcasts. If anybody doesn't know what that is, we'll link Dr. Shaw's interview with Sean, Pakistani Christian who, interviewed Dr. Shaw.
Yeah, he's a pastor, digital creator, just an all-around super guy.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
Shout out to the Sean Kahn podcast. I'm a new believer, 20 years old, and it feels like I'm really struggling with things I used to feel no conviction about, but now I know I shouldn't be doing. It seems like every other Christian knows how to fight temptation, but I don't. Any advice? Thanks so much for your show and your ministry.
Wow.
Love, Anonymous.
I'll just say this in the beginning, and then we'll flesh this out further.
Mm-hmm.
Having temptation is not sin.
Hmm.
Sin is sin.
Very true.
Temptation is simply letting you know that you're alive.
Yeah.
Temptation is letting you know that you are in a battle, and we're all in a battle. As believers, we have temptations. So having temptation is not a sin. So when you feel that urge, or when you feel that pull or that distraction coming along, don't think for a moment that, oh, I'm done. I gave in to that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jesus raised the bar when he said, even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, even if you speak angrily, you've already committed murder. having said that, it is to cause us to be guarded and mm-hmm. careful about our righteousness. Mm-hmm. Don't be hypocritical. So that's what it was about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But don't buy into Satan's lie that, that's right. hey, you feel tempted? You're done. You're mm-hmm. done. Christianity is not working for you.
In fact, you know, I think that's a great point. I think about like that passage where Jesus is tempted by the devil, and the whole yes. point of that passage is not to say, wow, look how relatable Jesus is. Me and him, yeah. we got the same struggles. We're yeah. two peas in a pod. He's just like me. But the whole focus of that was look how he used scripture to overcome.
Right.
Not that, oh man, I relate to him now.
Yeah. And it's not constantly in the gospels that you see him struggling with temptation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just one time right in the beginning of his ministry. And yet the Bible does say that he left him for an opportune time, that mm-hmm. he was going to come back. So I'm sure he did come back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he harassed Jesus, but the Bible does not go into any more detail beyond that point.
Right, yeah. right.
So, yes, Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is a great model for us to follow.
You know, we talked about that, you and I. I think yeah. you actually helped me write a paper on this because I had a yeah. paper on the impeccability of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that was one thing where I actually had never thought about it before. I was like, well, was he able to sin? And it's like, no, he wasn't able to sin. It's like, so the devil came to him and just kind of wasted his time. And so I remember you and yeah. I walking through that. Yeah. That was like a significant, that was like a end of term paper that yeah. had to be
yeah.
that had to be written on.
Yeah, the ability not to sin.
Mm-hmm.
So was Jesus able to sin, or he was he able not to sin? And mm-hmm. so that's where I come down to the view that he was not able to sin.
Right.
Because he is fully God
mm-hmm.
and you cannot tempt God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the question comes up, well, does that mean that he did not understand temptation? Yes, in his humanity, he understood that temptation completely. Mm-hmm. And yet, the wall or the fence or whatever you want to call it, the barrier or the protection around temptation was his deity.
Mm.
True. And yeah. I think that's where a lot of people try to pick apart the natures of Christ, because it's like, well, he's not able to sin, and yet at the same time, he's not, he's completely sympathetic or empathetic to our sin, so those don't work together. But it's like, if you, I don't have two natures, so of course it doesn't make sense for me.
For me, it doesn't work, but right. for him, it does work right. perfectly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great point.
So the temptation of Jesus, as you can imagine, I mean, this is in the Judean wilderness, one of my favorite places to go. I know, John, you've been there.
Yes.
David has been there. Nicholas has been there. This is, it extends from the Dead Sea to Jerusalem. And it's about 35 miles long and about 15 miles wide. And it's an area of yellow sand mm-hmm. and crumbling sandstone, mm-hmm. Limestone. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, it is beautiful.
It is. It now, is.
To some people, it's like, oh, this is desert. To me, I love, 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 love
it. You got
to
see it. You got to see it in person. Because if I look at it like a photo of the Judean yeah. wilderness, it's not much.
Yeah.
But when you go there and you see it like in person and you're actually climbing those hills and you yeah. see like the vast desolation. Like, I see why they call it the wilderness.
Yeah.
It's desolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do you remember when we went into the Judean wilderness up on top of some of those mountains? We were looking down and there was the monastery there.
I remember that.
Okay. And, mm-hmm. and, so
I remember the shepherd, he came by with all his sheep way out in the distance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, really far away.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't get to us.
Yeah. He didn't come to us.
No, he didn't have sheep. He had like goats or something.
Yeah.
He had something.
Yeah. And we looked up in our camera lens mm-hmm. and we could kind of zoom
oh,
in.
Oh yeah.
See that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
But we were out there and that was one of our favorite parts because our guide, a good friend, he said, look, well, yeah, I just want to go maybe drive a little bit into the Judean wilderness. We're like, absolutely.
Let's do it. Yeah. yeah.
But do you remember what was on the ground we found kind of lying around everywhere?
It was like these, I remember, but I don't remember exactly. They were like these little snail things.
Right.
These little
That's right.
creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like snails like you see here. They were really, really small and they were just like
kind of round shell yeah. and inside there was those creatures.
Like they really? Pop up
and he was
from the
like,
ground.
How in the world did they survive here? But they do.
They do.
That's just where that's their habitat.
That's some kind of a natural habitat for
yeah.
them.
Wow.
Yeah. And but I love that part of the world. And just to think, Judean wilderness is also the place, not only of Jesus' temptation, but also the place where the Hebrews
mm-hmm.
hung around
for 40 some years. Yeah.
And when they were coming closer towards Jordan, that's where they were
mm-hmm.
on the other side of the the Jordan River, but that's the Judean wilderness.
Yeah, it was amazing. But yeah, it's just nothingness. And I remember we did some filming out there. We filmed for one of our Jonah series.
I think we
filmed a couple of like just scriptures about them. But it's
vast.
That area is vast
and it's beautiful and it's so significant biblically, theologically, historically. And this was the place where, as the Bible says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it's not that Jesus stumbled in there,
right?
But the Holy Spirit cast him or kind of pushed him. Mark's gospel has this intensity in it that Jesus was just like thrown into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Right. Is that something that we should glean from that the Holy Spirit leads us? Because he doesn't lead us into temptation.
Well, we pray, don't lead us not into temptation.
Right.
But here, he was to not only teach us how to face temptations, but also to face temptation for us. So there's
good
a
point.
Double meaning there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So how do we fight the battle against the enemy, fight the battle against sin? Number one, by following the example that Jesus has set for us. And of course, many in the scriptures have some poor examples, some good examples, but also finding our strength in Christ. So we don't fight the enemy on our own resources, but because he has won the battle, we have won the battle.
True.
That's good.
So there's some double implication there or application
awesome.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that picture of Jesus being led not only to give us a picture of how to fight, but to do the fighting for us, to go and win the battle.
And how the fighting is actually done. You know, he didn't just, he actually used the word of God against the devil. You know, it wasn't like he had to actually overcome in his own strength and be like, okay, I've just got to mean this really hard and I've got to be disciplined and I've just got to have my own will. It was only through the word of God that, you know, that, or primarily I would say through the word of God that he overcame.
That's right. One of the most important lessons that I learned studying this temptation, I preached on it several times, and I'm sure our listeners, our viewers have probably heard many messages on the temptation of Jesus or read books on it. But the one that always gets me every time I come across it is the fact that this temptation took place right after his baptism and the heavenly acknowledgement by the Father that it says right here, behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In other words, this was a mountaintop experience for Jesus. Keep in mind, he's not only fully God, but he's also fully man. So let's not ever neglect the humanity of Jesus, because that's a heresy.
Right.
So we got to make sure the balance is there. So in his humanity, you can just imagine he has just been through a mountaintop experience as his heavenly Father acknowledges him and affirms him and declares him in front of all these people that this is my beloved Son. This is the one you've been waiting for.
And that's coming off of 30 years of living like as a carpenter's son and having to constantly be like, my time isn't yet.
Yes.
And now after 30 years, it's finally here.
Right. And don't misunderstand, he knew who he was.
Right.
He always knew who he was. Even as a baby, he knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, come on, baby is baby. Yeah, of course he is. In his humanity, he's just a little baby, helpless baby. But as fully God, he was also holding the entire universe in the palm of his hands.
That's exactly right.
We forget that. Going back to the two natures of Christ, we forget that it is not going to make sense to us from our experience, because we only have the one nature.
Mm-hmm.
Christ has two.
But I also imagine, like, during such a pivotal moment, like, you figure the next thing he would do is be like, all right, I'm on the scene. I'm going to get to work.
I've been acknowledged, affirmed, declared. It's time for me to just launch out and just make things happen.
I'm going to preach, baby. I'm going to travel the world.
Yes.
I'm going to preach. I'm going to save souls, heal.
And then go down the cross. No, but immediately he is subjected to temptation.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that must have been tough. But here's the application for us. Just when you have a mountaintop experience, it's a good point to stop and do a quick survey, because the enemy is coming.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Satan now is going to do whatever he can to creep in not to humiliate you. Don't misunderstand that. Sometimes people think, oh, yeah, the devil's going to. No, no, no. God's going to humble you, but Satan's going to try to fill you with pride.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, look at how great that message was. Or look at how great my accomplishment is. Or look at how great my family is. Or look at how great my health is. Don't ever get into pride, because that's welcoming the devil to come and feed your pride. He doesn't come to humble you. Just people need to realize that. He does not come to humble you. He comes to boost you up even more.
That's right.
So that you will be filled with the same sin that he was filled with.
Right.
And fall.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to fall.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we do here at Clearview that I love is that when we have big events, nights of worship, plays, album releases, book releases, we will celebrate. We'll take the time to celebrate, you know, among the church and among our teams. But as a leadership team, we always come together and we remind ourselves, like, hey, don't forget this exact point.
Yeah.
This is a huge win.
Yeah.
And so right now we're a little bit vulnerable.
Right.
And so it's not bad to celebrate, and it's not bad to say, God, thank you for seeing us.
Yeah, we're not trying
to
be morbid here. Right. By no means do I want you to go out there, something great happens, you're like, well, I don't know.
Right.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, it's not a matter of like waiting on the other shoe to drop. You're just kind of like anticipating the bad. But there are so many times that I've had this conversation with students, you know, in regards to student ministry, it's built around things like trips and weekend D-Now experiences where you have these mountaintop experiences, especially after like a week-long mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you come back and
something will happen.
Something happens. Crazy. Some friendship breaks down. Somebody texts you, like that somebody's talking about you behind your back.
Yeah.
And you're just, all of that experience is just like wiped away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remind them time and time again because of conversations that we've had, you know, just guard yourself. Just be prepared. Not sit there and like you said, morbidly be afraid of it.
Yeah.
But be aware that you need to press into God even more as you're heading back out of this mountaintop experience.
There's a story in the Old Testament that kind of reflects that too. I know you and I were talking about it when in 2020 when we were writing for the EP, where Elijah has this literal mountaintop experience where it's like the heavens open up and it's like the greatest victory anybody could ever ask for. And literally, I think in either the same chapter or the very next chapter, he's running for his life and
Queen
wanting
Jezebel
to die.
Yeah, he's depressed, he's discouraged, he's given up. And why did that happen? Because somewhere the enemy must have got into his personal space and either led him to believe that, see how good you are, see how powerful, you see how those people respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you got it. You got it. You arrived. You are one of the prophets. And I think at the time, God also uses the enemy to humble us, where God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do, Elijah. I'm going to let you kind of stand on your own 2 feet now.
Hmm.
Ooh, that woman's going to kill me. Yeah. I got to run. Wait, you just slaughtered all these prophets of Baal, but today you're like, oh, I got to run for my life. I just don't want to live anymore. I just want to die.
Hmm.
Why?
How quickly that changed.
Yeah, because God sometimes will do that when we allow the enemy to come in and boost our pride. Then he will say, okay, I'm going to let you. How do you feel? Oh, I feel horrible. Okay, so don't listen to the enemy. Listen to me.
Mm.
But the interesting thing also is the baits that the enemy used against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not much has changed.
Yeah, true.
Right? I mean, think about the first bait. It says in Luke chapter 4:3, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. It means he appealed to his appetite.
His hunger.
No different than what he did with Eve in Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food.
I don't know what it is about people, especially Christians, but if the belly gets to rumbling, that's the only thing they think about.
That's it. One-track mind.
They can't see past it. They forget how to think.
Yeah.
Myself included. Yeah. Like when I'm hungry, I think we talked about this a little bit ago, maybe last week.
Yeah.
When I'm hungry, I just don't think.
Right. Yeah.
As sophisticated as we are, and as advanced as we are as a people, as a culture, whatever, it comes down to food.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just take it away or go through some crisis and people will climb over each other trying to get food. I mean, think about 2020.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, what we did at Clearview is we, during that 2020 and even in 2021, we went out into the community, we bought food.
Yeah.
and gave it away to people who were in need.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you went with me many times, John. You went as well.
We did that for months.
Food, we did hygiene items as well. Toilet paper, as we were able to, because you know we found some that wasn't being stockpiled. But we were able to prepare those boxes and pass them out to people who were in need in the community, who couldn't get out and go to the store.
Right. Can you imagine how they would have survived without it? So unless we had come to them.
Yeah.
And it was through a motel chain. Mm-hmm. Somebody who worked for that came to me and said, hey, so we have all this toilet paper here. I just don't want to announce it out there because people are going to rush it and try to get it from us. Do you want it? Because I know you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And this was not, just for reference, this was not something that took place over the course of this was like a little fun afternoon. This happened weekly for at least 2 or 3 months.
Longer
than that.
It was like half a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, going out and meeting people's needs. But that helps us in understanding people need that appetite met.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge hindrance. If that appetite flares up, that's going to be a hook for people, for the enemy to get in there.
True. You know, there's two other baits. Maybe on tomorrow's show we can take a look at those.
Make sure you're here for tomorrow's episode. If today was helpful for you, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.